Now, there are people who make careers out of being on stage, and there are people who do anything to avoid ever performing in public. Then there are the others, something of a mixture of the two, the karaoke singers. Artwork's Josephine McRobbie visited a karaoke night to find out just what makes this form of entertainment so ubiquitous.
Where is, looks like Captain Handsome. Captain Handsome is here.
It's a Tuesday night at the Bluebird Nightclub in downtown Bloomington. A diverse crowd, ranging from 21 to 65, are lumped around the stage. They talk loudly over the music and pore over thick binders of song titles. They're all here to partake in the time-honored tradition of karaoke.
I love to sing, just in general. Nothing, very few things give me greater pleasure than to sing.
That's Jade and Jeremy, regulars at this particular karaoke location. In between songs, they tell me about hamming it up for their performances the last time they were here.
Was it last week, darling, or was it the week before?
The week before.
The week before, when Jeremy here got up on stage and took off his shirt and sang...
I was singing
Too Sexy.
I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred.
Crowd reaction.
Apparently.
Yeah. It was
yes.
mostly just people we knew, but yeah, big crowd reaction.
Karaoke is one of those rare forms of truly democratic entertainment. You show up at the bar or restaurant, sign up with your name and what song you'd like to sing, and shortly thereafter, you're on stage with a microphone. Since its creation in the 1960s in Japan, karaoke has become a popular pastime in the U.S., and with the advent of video games like Rock Band, it's more widespread than ever. Jason Evans Groth has hosted karaoke nights at the Bluebird since 2006. He's a vivacious personality, and his own history as a musician makes him especially empathetic to performers.
You have to be patient. You have to deal with inebriation, and I'm kind of a smart aleck on stage anyway, especially if I don't like the way that people are treating other people or treated me. But I refuse to not say good job to people because I think it's important. I think it is. I think everybody who gets on stage to do anything deserves credit because it's tough. I mean, I get nervous before every show I play, and I've been playing shows since I was 15.
Jason was happy to share some tips for aspiring karaoke singers.
The first thing you should do is not worry about screwing up. That ruins karaoke performances like nothing else. A good karaoke performance, there's no pretense. There's all confidence, and it's a lot of fun without any expectations.
If you need a song that'll win people over, here's a few to try out.
Don't Stop Believin', at least for the first couple of years that I was doing karaoke, that was a song that anybody could pick, and it would be fine. That's a surefire hit, whether you can sing it or not. Bohemian Rhapsody usually wins them over. What's Up by Four Non Blondes.
And if you really want to impress the host, don't bring your friends up to caterwaul through that Supreme song with you.
If you're going to get on stage with a group of people, unless you have a plan, it's going to be more fun for you on stage than it is going to be for the audience. Generally, if there's more than three, it's going to be a failure. It's going to be a disaster. If you're kind of leaving the confidence to the other people you're with, everybody all seems to be confident that somebody else is going to pick up the ball and run with it, and it's rare that it happens.
Weirdly enough, even trained musicians like Sara can get the karaoke jitters.
A friend of mine told me when I was worried about coming out here, I said I was kind of nervous the first time I was coming out. And she said, Sara, you've got a master's in music education. That's like having a PhD in karaoke.
But Sara's been blown away by some untrained singers before, and she admits that they can do some things that she never could.
I've been trained in jazz and in early music, like Renaissance madrigals and things like that. So if somebody asked me to sing Joan Jett, I'd probably screw up pretty badly.
As far as Jason is concerned, there's one story that perfectly sums up his experience as a karaoke host. A few years ago, a pop singer, who will remain anonymous, was visiting Bloomington to record an album at a local studio. He dropped into karaoke one night and had a member of his entourage request a song by 90s alt-rock group Oasis. Here's Jason.
He sings Wonderwall and gets everybody on their feet to the front. They're all singing along. They're waving their beers. He gets done, you know, rounds of applause, walks off stage. His handler comes up to me like a minute later. And he's like, he had a really great time and he wants to do it again, but he wants to do his own song. this blows my mind. This is like some sort of meta experience that I never expected to have.
Jason was happy to oblige, for nothing else but out of the sheer curiosity of what would happen. That and the 20 that the singer's handler slipped him to jump the line.
Yes, $20 will get you ahead at any karaoke hall, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. So he gets on stage, I start the song, and literally everybody in the audience starts to walk out of the room. So he's singing his own song. He's the guy who wrote it. He had sold out Fenway Park the week before, and nobody cared. You know, like they'd rather see some anonymous guy singing Wonderwall by Oasis than singing his own song for free at the Bluebird.
So next time you're thinking about braving that karaoke stage, simply rest assured that no one is immune to public humiliation, and you'll do just fine. For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Josephine McRobbie.
If you're interested in trying your hand and voice at karaoke, visit wfiu.org/artworks for a list of local venues.